Greetings, Null Space faithful, and welcome to another exciting episode. We're on the road. We're visiting a couple friends of the show. They've been on maybe once or twice, but regular listeners. And we'll let them introduce themselves. Rozdar, why don't you go first?
Hello.
That's Rozdar on weather and our cultural advisor, Agatha.
Do you know the Japanese word for sarcasm is the character for skin followed by the character for meat?
And Agatha Cornfellow on meat skinning. We'll just get right into the topics today. A recent announcement was the Spyro the Dragon Treasure Collection, which is going to be their HD re-release, HD remake, actually, of the original Spyro the Dragon series for PlayStation 1. They're bringing it out just like they do with Crash Bandicoot. And really, we're not going to talk so much about that, but the topic is the rumor mill had the announcement a day early. The rumor was that it was going to be announced Thursday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, I believe, and it came out, the announcement was on Friday. But on Thursday, everybody fucking panicked because the game didn't get announced. So we're going to talk about why people are so into a game that you could technically play today if you wanted to. Thoughts on that? What do you guys think is the reason that HD remakes are so popular?
Well, I guess that's the convenience factor, right? So you've got your main system that you have hooked up and you play, and then you don't have to drag other things out and get them all hooked up and ready to go, and maybe your media is, you know, you don't have your discs or something like that anymore, but...
It's just one of those things that, I can understand that you'd be excited for an HD remake, but as far as pissed that it didn't get announced is confusing to me, because, like, you can honestly play these games today. I mean... Like you said, it's a little more convenient to have it available, but if you're really itching to play it that bad, is it really worth having the HD remake over the original?
I mean, for a lot of people, I feel like it's, you know, you get the HD one and it sits nicely on your 16:9 flat screen TV instead of the weird crop 4:3 or whatever you're emulating it on, or messing with hookups and all that.
We don't do emulation here.
I think we also have to take into account, too, it's not just when you have a rumor like that and everybody believes it and then it doesn't happen and people get angry, it's also
the hype factor,
right? They took it to heart and they really believed that was being announced and now they feel betrayed and then they get angry because they don't have anything better to do with their time.
Nerds are very easily hyped, and no nerd more than probably the gaming nerd. The anime nerd is easily hyped, but the gaming nerd gets rabid with it. So I can totally agree with that. But... I can see the reason that a game like Shadow of the Colossus would be such a huge thing to come to a recent system with an HD re-release of it, because the game was graphically beautiful. It was fantastic. And the fact that they increased they kind of fixed some of the problems with the controllers is even better. But with a game like Spyro, it's cartoony. It's like wanting a re-release of Mario 64 to me. And, I mean, I don't know, do you guys think differently that you want to see the game prettier or just re-released?
I mean, like, for example, in Super Mario Odyssey, the parts where it's in, you know, old school 8-bit Super Mario Brothers, you know, that was great, right? And it's all high fidelity, and, you know, I don't think I could go back and play, you know, Super Mario Brothers 1 on the NES the same way and, like, have as much fun. Just because of the low res of the graphics.
Well, you have to get the scan lines in there, so you got to get an old tube TV. And
weighs 80 pounds.
Honestly, my favorite part of Mario Odyssey was unlocking the Mushroom Kingdom. That was really similar to how it was in Mario 64. Mm-hmm. But better than that was unlocking the Mario 64 skin. Mm-hmm. I flipped my shit when I saw that. But, I mean... Because I guess I'm more interested in how it did look than I am today, because we've got enough pretty games out there. Do we need more HD re-releases?
I mean, I think that's kind of one of the other factors is that, you know, there's so many games coming out now. Like, the industry is so huge. There's all these new IPs, and, you know, some of them are good, really good. Some of them suck. So, you know, you can go back and you say, oh, this HD re-release of this game I know I really liked, you know, it's something that's going to be good. You know, I can safely put my money down and get a game that I'll like playing.
I guess when they did that with, when Bungie did that with the Halo series, when they did Halo Anniversary, and you get the HD remake of Halo, and you're sitting there like, oh, this is kind of how it looked when I was playing it on Xbox, but then they had the special button there that would switch back, and you're like, holy shit, no. But really, it's more the fact that I don't understand why people were so angry. Because I understand that they were hyped about it, but why were they so angry when they thought it wasn't coming out?
I think it's a combination of factors. Again, they really believed the rumors, so then they felt like they'd been lied to. But then also, when you look at sort of the average demographics for people who are super into gaming now, for a lot of them, maybe that was a game they really enjoyed as a child, and so that's
the nostalgia factor.
There's sentimental value there as well. So that might be a reason why they would get more upset over that game versus maybe something else.
So one of the reasons I didn't get quite as upset is because Spyro, there was a big part of my childhood that played Spyro, but it probably wasn't as important to me as, like, Ocarina of Time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I guess for an Ocarina of Time HD re-release on a Switch, I would probably crap my pants. And really, I've been having a problem. I used to play Ocarina of Time once a year, but now that Breath of the Wild came out, I think I'm too spoiled to go back.
It is hard. It's hard because I really enjoyed Breath of the Wild, and I remember saying as soon as I got it, this is everything I never even knew I wanted from a Zelda game, because you have so many options available to you, and then it's very hard to go back to that sort of linear, there's nothing interesting to, like, well, there's plenty of interesting things, but there's nothing surprising really to discover because everything is mapped out for you and you know where everything's going to be, and there's not, it's still fun, but it's not the same. I don't know.
It's a good point, and the fact that, like, when you have a game like that, where Ocarina of Time was great when it came out. When you have a game like Ocarina of Time, which was great when it came out, but Breath of the Wild is such a build on that. It's a true sequel to the original framework of Ocarina of Time. Spyro never really had that. Spyro came out, 1, 2, and 3 were great, but then you had the PlayStation 2 version come out. I think it was Spyro Enter the Dragonfly?
Yeah, something like that.
And it was so buggy and badly released that I don't think the series ever really kind of came out from under that.
Yeah.
And you had they kind of retconned it, and they tried to renew it with I think it was Cinder the Dragon, and they tried to make it more epic and everything, but it really never got off the ground after that. So when you get back to, let's just remake the originals and make them pretty, I guess is a good point as to why it's such a big draw as compared to Ocarina of Time on 3DS. Crash Bandicoot had the same problem. 1, 2, and 3, and was it Crash Nitro Racing?
Yeah.
Great! And then they kind of crapped out after that. Mm-hmm. But you had the game come out again in the HD re-release, thanks to, I believe, the Uncharted series. There was a brief moment where you could actually play Drake playing Crash Bandicoot, and the nostalgia factor was so great that I think they said, okay, let's run with that. So, interesting thoughts. That, and I think a lot of it attributes to social media, like you said about hype.
One person starts it, and then it gets repeated as fact, and then it gets repeated as fact by 20 more people, and then everybody starts believing it, and then when it doesn't happen, you know, oh shit.
And social media is such an angry place.
Well, it's really easy for people to be, to really go off right on the internet, because they don't have any of the filters of face-to-face interaction. I wouldn't go up to you in the game store and start yelling at you. I mean, I might if I were a really, really, really angry nerd, but online, it's easier to be angry like that because nobody's going to stop you. So
yeah, you guys didn't work in game stores. Man, we got some people in there. But I've had people come in and just pissed off that games haven't come out before. But man, I really saw them explode over Spyro. It was very strange. I guess I just didn't see it coming. Are there any other, like, remakes that you guys, once you heard about it, really just needed?
Age of Empires 2. I got the HD re-release of that. Spent a lot of time. It's kind of my first big PC game, so the HD remake.
Is there a reason you wanted to play the remake more than the original?
Yeah, well, I mean, the graphics were janky at the time, so to have it better, prettier now.
Being able to see what's going on?
Yeah, pretty much.
That's helpful. I don't have any that I really, really needed. There's ones that I sort of wish would get remade as HD, but you all can guess.
Well, you have to tell us.
Golden Sun.
Yeah. Golden Sun.
Yeah. They're, I mean, they were enjoyable, and at the time, the graphics were excellent. They were some of the best graphics you've ever seen on a Game Boy Advance, but they re-released them for the Virtual Console and the Wii U, and of course I got them because that way I don't have to drag out older systems that I don't really carry around with anymore, but
no backlight.
they didn't do really any alteration of the graphics on that system, and so when you have something that was designed for a Game Boy Advance screen and then you've got it on your big TV, it gets harder to look at them, very pixelated, and smoothing that out would be nice.
It is amazing what nostalgic goggles can do, because like you'll sit there and you'll think, okay, this is totally how the game used to look. And then you pop in GoldenEye 64 for the first time in years, and you're just like, holy shit, everything's made out of cardboard.
Yeah.
So boxy.
Rectangles.
I mean, that's been true for gaming since, I think, the beginning. You remember how it looked, and then you go back to it. So having that aspect of, like, let's try and recreate that feeling is nice. As far as, what about not necessarily just improving the graphics, but improving the gameplay itself? Do you think that's kind of is that a worthwhile endeavor, or do you feel like that's kind of blasphemous and treading too hard on the past? Because, like the example I used earlier, Shadow of the Colossus, if you played the original today, you would get pretty frustrated with those controls climbing them, and they improved that, so it's not as difficult. But what are your thoughts on that? Do you think that is going too far? What do you think?
I mean, I'm for it, definitely. But, I mean, the ones I've played, gameplay was pretty solid, so they haven't really done that. I have the Bioshock remastered, 1 and 2, because they gave it free, because I had the disc, the retail disc, but I haven't actually had time to play them. But I think I had read that some of the stuff they did there was to improve some of the controls and bring them in line with, what Infinite had.
I think it's totally reasonable. I mean, you're playing a game to experience the gameplay, to experience the story, to experience the challenges, right? But you're altering control schemes. You're probably doing it because in the original maybe it was sort of game-breakingly difficult, right? Frustratingly difficult. And is that really an integral part of the gameplay? Is I got so mad at this that I threw my controller across the room and walked away? Is that really, an integral part of your gaming experience? Probably not. And if you say, well, back in the day we had this, and if you're a true fan, you want it this way, I mean, why the gatekeeping bullshit? Just let people play games and enjoy them.
I think it depends on the game, because you have games like that have bad controls, like the original Tomb Raiders. Great games if you could control them correctly. But man, in today's market, it plummets. It's awful. It's unplayable. But then you have games like Ghosts and Goblins and a more recent Cuphead, and let's say, what is that? Getting Over It? Have you guys played that one yet?
No, not yet.
It's ridiculously frustrating, but that is what the game is built on. It's that frustration of...
Well, when it's designed for that, then yes, but if it's something that just tangentially happened by accident because nobody realized how horribly difficult it was, I would say why not?
I like
why
your comments about gatekeeping, about keeping newbies out just because back in my day we had to walk uphill.
Can't we all just get along? Can't we all just have fun?
No. Absolutely not.
Lunch fighting words. I'll kick your ass.
All right. Do you guys have any other points you want to make about the re-release, about the rage behind the hype? And really, the one thing I want to say is what I said on Twitter is it's just like, clearly the demand is there. They're remaking fucking everything. Just because they didn't announce it yet doesn't mean it's not coming out. So just, that was the one thing I wanted to say is like PlayStation 3 still plays PS1 games, and Spyro the Dragon is on eBay for $15. If you need to play it that bad, just play it. Yeah, I'm getting nods. Yep. So we can continue from there. What we're doing lately is for our little middle topic, we're looking on Facebook, we're doing social media and stuff, and we're asking our questions. And the topic of the week that gets the most responses is where we go. And we'll discuss quick. I believe this week the most responses was, what is the most 90s game you can think of? We had a couple of mentions. I mentioned myself, Road Rash, but we've got a couple other here to read off out loud. We've got Josh saying that Smash TV because of the American Gladiators vibe. Jerry, co-host, who's currently working on other projects right now, we'll hope to have him back soon. Totally rad. Comic Zone, if you remember Comic Zone from the Sega Genesis, as soon as
didn't we see, didn't Ashens play that? Yeah.
Ashens, one of our favorites. Yes. I mean, as soon as you have, like, the muscular comic guy saying, dude, Red, he's got he's got a rat named Roadkill, and he's got his sunglasses, which, you know, makes him cool. But, okay, what is the most 90s game you guys can think of right now?
Definitely Double Dragon for me.
Double Dragon, just, see, that just brings flashbacks of the cartoon, you know? Double Dragon and Battletoads, just... Yeah. Just that real 90s vibe.
I'm drawing a blank.
Yeah. It's just that 90s era crap that we're not going to get again. No. Like Toe Jam and Earl with the crappy beatboxing and just like... the closest thing I've seen to actually recapturing the feel of the 90s was the Blood Dragon expansion. Was that for Far Cry? Oh, so great. That 90s feel of just everything was a smart ass and like Sonic the Hedgehog was insulting people all the time and too cool for school. And Splatoon, actually, with the same hip-hop vibe that Toe Jam and Earl had, the same fake hip-hop vibe that's like, you know, we're too cool for this, but we're making this up so you think we're cool just because we keep repeating it kind of thing. 90s. All right, going from there. Recently, this one's a little older, but I think it's a good topic to discuss because we had varying opinions on it. Was the Nintendo ePoints eShop rewards program just upgraded so that you can now use your gold coins towards digital purchases, I believe, of games. Right now, I believe one gold coin is one penny, and a lot of people... It's kind of both ways sort of thing. A lot of people are really pissed about this. A lot of people really like the idea of having that ability. So we'll open with you guys. What are your thoughts on the new program?
Yeah, I mean, I'm on the side of liking it because, I have all these silver points and nothing I want to spend them on. And then the gold points I have are either for coupons for games I already own or games I don't want. So then I'm sitting on these gold coins that are going to probably expire before I use them. So at least this way, if I buy any game on the eShop, I can at least, use them to get some money off it. I mean, it's not a lot of money, but at least I can use them for something. That's kind of where I sit on it.
Yep, I can see that. I wouldn't say I'm angry about it, much more that I really don't care anymore. I was a member of Club Nintendo back in the day when you used to be able to send in your little codes for your little points, and then you could get really, really cool physical rewards. And then when they did away with that to this My Nintendo reward system, it just really... I've kind of stopped even looking at it because I haven't really found anything worthwhile. It's always discounts for games I already have, games I don't want, or I can save up a whole crap ton of coins and, ooh, I've got a wallpaper, which is not so great. I like the idea. I think it's good that those are getting used towards maybe something and that you have more choice for what they're used for instead of games you already have. But I don't really care much anymore. I don't see the program as being that helpful. But I don't think it's worth getting angry over. After all, I mean, Nintendo doesn't have to give you anything, right? So you look at it that way, at least you've got something. But
you bring up a good point with a couple good points there with the old Club Nintendo rewards, because those physical rewards were really cool.
They were awesome. They were so great.
I mean, I remember when they used to have the Mario Kart trophies, never able to get one of those, but I saw that you guys have the Hanafuda cards on your shelf.
Yep, and I still have a messenger bag that I use all the time. And
yeah, the Mario hat somewhere.
Oh man, that stuff was really cool, and it gave you a reason to register your games, and Nintendo was able to track your sales like that.
And they had those surveys, right, that you would take, which helped them to develop better games based on what their most hardcore customers wanted, which is also nice.
And it was also a way to determine what Nintendo America actually brought over versus what they kind of just kept in Japan. They don't really necessarily need the code entry system anymore with digital purchases. That kind of, it's done for them now.
Yeah.
Which I think is one of the big reasons they moved away from that. Jerry, what you said that reminds me of what Jerry always said was that... a big problem with the program is the fact that you're getting discounts on games that you've already bought, because right now there's not a whole bunch of games on Switch. So the bigger titles, you can get discounts on them, but
Those are probably why you bought the Switch in the first place, to play those games, and you already have them.
And there's no real way to earn points other than already buying those games. Yeah. So how is a discount going to help you? That was one of Jerry's big complaints, which I think him going on to the coin program is better. I'm actually... The coin program to me... The thing is, Nintendo used to be the only ones that gave back, and that was a big deal. But now when you have things like the PlayStation Plus program, which, I mean, they're giving you like free games a month.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is not a way to compete with that. Sure, 300 coins being $3, yeah, that takes off tax. But, I mean, in the big grand scheme of things, you have to buy about, I think, $1,500 worth of games to get a game free.
Yeah,
which is insane. That's a crazy amount of things to have to buy in order to get a $60 game for free. I mean, like you said, Nintendo doesn't necessarily owe me anything, but they're not the only ones in the game doing this anymore. So to me, this is just a really lackluster attempt to kind of keep up with a program that they themselves started.
Yeah, and I can see it that way. And they're not... Nintendo tends to do this, right? So there's these programs that other people have. And Nintendo was first with this rewards program, but now other people are doing it, and Nintendo is going their own way, and they're not doing it the same way, and it's maybe not, I don't know, not necessarily the best way to do it, but that's kind of what they do.
I mean, on the vein of PlayStation Plus, that's kind of, they're going to do something similar, supposedly, when finally the Switch Online stuff comes out. You'll get the library of old games as part of the, like, subscription, right? So...
Aren't those games, because can you actually download those games in the PlayStation Plus, or are you just like renting them for a month?
No, you can download them and you keep them as long as you maintain your subscription on PlayStation Plus, right?
Because I believe Nintendo's going to have it be like a month availability before they
Have they ever announced the specifics for that? Because I remember people being all over the place with it, and I'm just not...
I can't remember
if they definitively said or not.
We keep getting bits and pieces.
Yeah.
But the way I read it was that it was like a rotating feature. Like, this month you get to play this, and next month this will be gone, but you'll play that.
Yeah.
Which worries me. And right now, with Nintendo, the only virtual console availability they have are the old arcade games. I mean, yeah, I bought these games a number of times already, but I want to buy them again!
I mean, for virtual console, like, yes, maybe I own this already in one or two other formats, but right now... The Switch is the most convenient format for me, and so if it means coughing up, you know, a few bucks to get one of those games again, you know what, I'd happily do it, because then, again, it's that convenience factor, and it's so much easier.
Kind of brings us back to our first topic there. Nice intertwined segue there. Awesome! But, yeah, the first of all, the handheld fact of the system does really make me want to rebuy the games I have on Virtual Console already, just so I can watch TV while I'm playing Mario 3 again. But when you have games like that on the virtual console, I mean, on the eShop, that are only about $5 a pop, I can see this being a much more worthwhile program.
Yeah.
But as for right now...
No, it's just not...
The eShop games are pretty expensive still.
They are. And there's just not a whole lot of worth out of it. Like I said, I've just kind of stopped interacting with it at all, because there just hasn't been... It's not worth the time that I put into it, right? Time is money, too. So.
Not to mention the fact that it used to be the Club Nintendo program, every game you bought added to it, because you would type in the code. Right now, with the new eShop program they have, it's only digital copies. And I know a lot of people out there that do not buy digital copies.
Well, you still get gold coins for the cartridge versions, but it's like a smaller percent.
I think it's 5% for eShop, 1% for hard copy.
And I know that we're transitioning to a more digital sales model, but there are still, you know, people that do buy on cartridge. We buy a mix. We buy some of our games in cartridge format and some of our games digitally, but it's unfortunate as well that's the way it is.
I know enough people argue with the digital copy just because it's one of those... It's digital rights management. It's just one of those things that you can't 100% confirm that you're going to be able to keep forever. Whereas far as a cartridge copy, it's in your hand. It's always there. But that's a lot of the problem people have with digital copies. Me, like you said, I buy a mix. I buy the games that I know I want to have on hand at all times digitally. But then, like...
like Breath of the Wild, the case was just too pretty to not buy. That, I mean, everybody had to taste at least one Switch cartridge.
Oh, they were so disgusting.
I didn't really mind it that much.
I didn't leave my mouth for hours. It was awful. I brushed my teeth and I used mouthwash and I drank an alcoholic drink and it still didn't go away.
But you like the McGangbang, so we'll take you.
McGangbang is delicious.
Can you want to tell everybody what a McGangbang is?
It is a McChicken inside of a McDouble. And you eat it, and it's wonderful, but then you feel like you're going to die.
That's just like every meal at McDonald's. I was trying to explain to Kelsey why when we go to Japan that we have to go to McDonald's. She didn't get it.
They have the Ebi Burger, which is a shrimp burger, and it's good for your skin. It's marketed towards women.
But that's the thing, is it McDonald's, they kind of made, Japan kind of made it their own, you know? Yeah. Where as far as, like, you can go to Subway anywhere, McDonald's in Japan is different because it's, like, cultural
there. Oh, they alter it for every single market that they're in. So in India, you can get the McAloo Tiki, which is like a tikka masala sandwich. And in Switzerland, you can get beer in a cup at the drive-thru, and it comes with a straw.
But the thing is, it's just like the fact that like almost every anime, when they're like in Japan, they've got the W ups on the W.
McDonald's.
It's just, you know, it's iconic because of that. Because of anime, McDonald's is iconic in
Japan. I'm going to eat some McDonald's fries while booting up my Windows PC and... That's what we're going to do.
Did you see that they were turning the M to a W for International Women's Day?
We did.
That people were posting pictures from like Inuyasha.
Oh yeah, Inuyasha came to life.
Yeah. Well, that's pretty far off topic, but it doesn't matter because it's a good topic. It's just the fact that, going back to what we were talking about, when Nintendo used, I think a lot of the rage came from the fact that too many people still remember the old Club Nintendo rewards. And this just does not match up the cool feature of like having really loot that you can't buy in stores.
Or something that you can hold in your hand and that you can show off to other people or put on a shelf, like with our Hanafuda cards.
And like, I wanted those frickin' Mario Kart trophies so bad. They were just so cool looking. Mm-hmm. And I never earned enough points for them. And now you just can't get them. They're on eBay, but I'm not going to shell out that much money for it.
Well, it's the principle of the thing too, so...
I mean, when you have it like that, you just get to the point where you either need to go all out and say, okay, the discounts are going to be better, or it'll take off more from the game, or we're going to make it so that the cartridge version and the digital version are worth the same thing, or you have to make the stuff that's not necessarily a discount code, make it worthwhile. Make it something that, like, if you had the Miitomo system, you could buy special outfits for a while there. Mm-hmm. But I mean, something to do that with your in-game avatar, something like character icons for the Switch, something that only you could have,
something unique and special.
That's the way to do it. I mean, they even did that with Flipnote, I believe, is that for a while there you could only buy it on the eShop, and a lot of people really like Flipnote, so that was a great way to do it. This is moving away from that kind of idea. And, I mean, coins to cash is good in principle, but...
The execution is quite flawed.
And it's just... They need to improve it. And I think that's a lot of the rage right now is, yeah, technically they don't owe us anything from buying, but then don't give us anything. You know, don't try and tease us with this program.
Yeah, it's just not worth it.
Rosdauer, thoughts?
I mean, the only other thought I was having was kind of back a while in the conversation, but to the like the virtual console-ish games for the Switch, I think they might be trying to kind of hold off on that to keep the 3DS alive a little longer, because I feel like once they start releasing all that stuff on the Switch, that's like the death of the 3DS, pretty much.
3DS has been dying for a while. It's a good point. And the fact that they are re-releasing the NES Classic and the Super Nintendo Classic, so I guess that's stepping on their own feet when they're trying to sell like these hardware systems they're pushing out. We did get a couple of announcements for the 3DS from this last Nintendo Direct, Luigi's Mansion, a remake. I really wanted that to be on the Switch.
Yeah, there's a lot of... There have been things coming out that I really wish were more Switch games instead of 3DS games, but...
That's unfortunate too, because in the Wii U, I wish that was more popular, because people were all excited that we have two screens now, we can start pushing old DS games onto the system, and with the Switch, you're back down to one screen, so I don't think that's going to happen. Mm-hmm. But really, the Nintendo Direct tried to revive a bit the 3DS for a bit longer, but I think we're probably seeing the last year.
I mean, they've been publicly insisting that it's not going anywhere anytime soon, but I think the louder they protest, the more suspicious I get of that. So
they released a handheld system, you know? Of course it's going to kill the original handheld system. Ah, Nintendo. Always one step forward, one crazy step in a direction we're not quite sure of yet. One step forward, one step, I guess we'll see where we land. Yeah. All right, well, that's good for this topic. We'll try and do a couple of closing topics here. I thought we'd skip them, but we got a couple of minutes left in the show. We're going to talk about, probably next week, a location that you'd like to vacation to in a video game, if you guys can think of one. The first one that comes to my mind is probably Nagrand from World of Warcraft, from the... From the first Burning Crusade expansion, just because of the floating islands, and it's just so pretty, and I always wanted to visit that. So do you guys have some place in mind?
Oh gosh, I was gonna come up with Golden Sun, but you bring up World of Warcraft, and I liked Moonglade. It's very pretty, and the Night Elf starting area was very pretty as well.
Maybe just vacationing to Azeroth as it is.
Well, I mean, you got the places with the hideous, horrible monsters and things trying to kill you, but you know.
You're gonna have it anywhere you go. I guess. Like, we're in Ohio right now, and I can say the same thing. Mr. Rosdauer. Mystery Science Theater.
Yeah, I mean, I'd also like to go to Azeroth, though with the Battle for Azeroth coming up, it might not be the most safe travel destination, but...
I guess I'd also like to visit Hyrule. Mm. Probably from Breath of the Wild now, just because it's so big and vast and pretty, and I'm pretty sure I could take a goblin.
Just get your own Mad Max kind of thing going there. Survival of the fittest.
I mean, everything's edible everywhere. You just shake a tree and you got a bunch of apples from
that's
it.
That's true. And you can cook gourmet food quite easily.
So we'll probably post that question this week on our Facebook page, like we did the past week. If you want to be in the next episode, pay attention to our Facebook page and we'll probably read your answer out loud depending on which question gets the most hits. I know another question is going to be, Ziggy came up with both of these. The first one is where would you like to vacation? The second one would probably be favorite non-gun weapon from a video game. I honestly couldn't think of one, except for probably the fucking crowbar from Half-Life.
Actually, I have one. So in Breath of the Wild, the very first thing I picked up was a mop. And you better believe I kept that mop for the next 4 hours so I could go around mopping people to death. And it was a grand old time.
I just finally last night unlocked the last item in the game from the expansions, the bike. And I love it. And I'm so depressed that there's nothing else to do now because it's just so fun to use. And
do you know where to go on it?
Yeah, I guess I could go do all the side quests I skipped and find all the Koroks, but I'm just not that crazy, you know? So we're going to be posting those more often. I'm going to try and keep our Facebook page a little more vibrant here. So we're going to keep posting various random topics to talk about. And we'll read some of the answers out loud every episode for fun. That'll be a good time. Our Twitter is actually getting a little more popular too. So don't forget to follow us on Twitter. Instagram, follow it, don't follow it, don't worry about it. Last couple things we'll do... We'll end it with the, what are you guys playing right now? We'll go with you, Agatha. What are you playing most recently?
Start with Rosdauer. I've been really busy.
Rosdauer, what are you playing?
Oh, man, I've been a little ADHD here trying to get through my backlog and catch up on stuff. So I've been getting back into Breath of the Wild and starting over on the Switch since we got it on the Wii U because
we couldn't get a Switch.
So I'm trying to catch back up on that so I can play through the DLC. I've been playing, Stardew Valley on the Switch.
Stardew Valley. We're going to be seeing the co-op come out this spring.
Yeah.
And I know Ziggy's excited to play co-op.
That'll be crazy.
That game did eat part of our lives.
I got so sucked into it. I don't think I remember most of the last month.
But then I've also been playing little backlog games.
Backlog.
Always playing WoW a little bit here and there. But...
You guys excited for? Okay. That kind of ties into our discussions earlier. Are you excited for WoW Classic to come out?
No.
I mean, they haven't really released any details on what it's going to be. You know, are you going to be able to get, account-wide, stuff, like redo the opening of AQ and get the Black Karaji mount or something and then be able to use it in like live WoW or not? Or, you know, is it going to be like a combo subscription or what? You know, so
we'll get more
until we get some of that details. I'm not really one way or the other.
I guess that's one of those games, just like Ocarina of Time, that you can't really go home again.
Yeah, you can't go back, right? I mean, I started playing WoW. I don't play WoW anymore, but I started playing it in 2007. And I had some very good times playing WoW in 2007. I met my husband playing WoW in 2007. But going back to, when I think back to that style of gameplay now, I don't think that I would enjoy it. I don't have the time anymore. I'm not a college student. I can't sit there and grind for 10 hours at something. And it just doesn't fit with my lifestyle anymore. So good on it for the people who really, really enjoy and miss that, but it's not for me.
So what are you playing then?
Well, I played some Stardew Valley. I played too much Stardew Valley, and then I had to cut myself off from playing Stardew Valley. I played the Project Octopath Traveler demo, and I really enjoyed that. I'm very much looking forward to that release.
How is it? Because I'm a little concerned it's going to be too much like Bravely Default, and I just couldn't get into that.
Yeah, so I got Bravely Default because everybody was saying, oh, it's, you know, it's a really good RPG, and I like me a good RPG in there.
A JRPG, yeah.
Yeah, they're harder to find these days, but I couldn't get into that one either. But I got into Octopath Traveler, and I enjoyed it. I found that the combat system, people were complaining it was, some people were saying it was too hard, some people were saying it was way too easy. I didn't really have a problem with it either way. And the graphics were pretty enjoyable, and the writing was good. So
it was just, I think the story for Bravely Default, it was just too similar to every other JRPG I played, so I couldn't get behind it. But really, the art style for Octopath Traveler has me intrigued.
Yeah, it looks good. It's fun to look at. So
okay, kind of like a storybook kind of look.
Yeah, and we finally have a release date, so that's nice.
Yep, the last Nintendo Direct did have a couple of things. I think a couple of fuck yeahs from Nintendo Direct just to have them out here. The Octo expansion for Splatoon 2, cannot fucking wait for that. The Octolings, she looks really cute, and I'm wondering if we're going to have any male Octolings, because I don't remember seeing any. The Smash Brother announcement, I was actually... Don't tell anybody, but I was driving while watching the Nintendo Direct, and I nearly killed myself when they announced the next Smash. You guys have anything else you want to mention from that Direct?
No, my big thing was Octopath Traveler released it, so I'm pleased on that.
Mm-hmm. At Luigi's Mansion, just a number of games announced. I know one of my favorite coming to Switch that I probably won't get just because I played it and having a handheld doesn't do much for me was Undertale.
Oh yeah, we will probably get that. We've been meaning to try it, but we haven't bothered getting it in another format because we have too many other things to play. But now that it's on Switch, I think probably we'll give it a go.
I believe you guys will like Undertale, as long as you stay off of Tumblr. Tumblr. It's another one of those where
it's the fandom.
The fandom kind of detracts from the game, and I know people have been arguing with me this since the beginning of time. But I honestly do believe that the fandom can ruin some IPs.
Yeah, there are things that I like, but that I don't wish to be very public about liking them, because then I get lumped in with a certain set of people that I really don't wish to be lumped in with.
Like, the most recent for me was Rick and Morty.
Yeah, I mean, I like Rick and Morty, but I'm not one of those people you see screaming at some minimum wage McDonald's cashier because they couldn't get nugget sauce. You know,
that's the thing is, and when you tell people that you like Rick and Morty now, they
assume that you're like that.
They roll their eyes and then they're like, oh, you're one of those people that thinks they're, you know, so smart because you watch a cartoon. And
or that, you know, your idea of a witty joke is just saying wubba lubba dub dub over and over.
And that's fucking funny, but it's, you know. But it's not. Pickle Rick! Jerry would be punching me in the gut.
As far as the Nintendo Direct goes, probably excited for Okami HD.
HD? I forgot about that, and again, ties right in with our episode, but I never got a chance to play the original Okami, so.
See, I'm the other way. I have it for a Wii, and I played it like halfway, and then I moved to college or whatever, and then I never finished it, and then I've always kind of regretted because it's supposed to be so good, and I was having fun with the beginning parts, so I might actually get the HD one just to finally finish it.
And I've been interested in playing it, but our Switch right now is our primary system that's hooked up, and so I'm too lazy to go pop the disc into something else and try to play it. So
I guess that's something we didn't mention with our HD re-release as part of the episode, was the fact that it introduces these old series to a new audience. And I mean, Skylanders is so big these days, and kids have no idea that Skylanders was essentially a Spyro game, and they have no idea where Spyro came from. So going back to the original and Crash Bandicoot, that's something people our age that played these games when they're kid with when they were kids can introduce it to their kids.
Yeah, and I think that's really, really a wonderful thing, you know?
I guess that's something that slips our mind because the three of us don't want kids.
No. I will stick with my cat. She's cute, and you can train her to poop in a box.
You can introduce her to Spyro. Well, that's just about it. Is there anything else you guys want to mention for this episode?
I think we're cool.
That's all for us from Null Space on the Road. Why don't you guys send us out?
Do svidaniya.
Happy gaming, everyone.
Hey!